Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, but just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. So very glad to be back on the air with you this morning, April 8th. We're going to be talking about Lesson 98 today, and we're closing in, right, on our first 100 lessons. Important area that they're all, I mean, I can't, you know, the problem that I've had over all of these years and reading the textbook and the lessons is simply, you know, highlighting this or underlining that. It's simply because it's all so profound to me. You know, what we read yesterday, you know, being at home in God, you know, and what he's sharing right here is that, you know, the idea that we could dream a dream. And we certainly prove that to ourselves every night. We dream a dream of being somewhere else, but that's kind of our little micro dream, you know, that we're in that dream kind of by ourselves. We people the dream. We put all the people in the dream that are there. It's all in our mind. We appear to have a visible and tangible manifestation of body. We see ourselves as body, and we do and act out all the things that we do, you know, throughout the day each day, you know. And sometimes when it doesn't go the way we want it, during the day, okay? It may show up, you know, a week or two later, and we have a dream about something or someone, and we incorporate, you know, this into that, you know, in the sense that we are looking, you know, for solutions to what we see or you know, determine to be our problems, you know, identify and define. And then we'll dream about it, because in our dreams we can kind of make it turn out the way we want to. But it's still, we're just, that's an impossible thing, because we can't do the impossible. And so we can no longer, I mean, we can no more make our dreams work at night, in, you know, 100% in our favor, if you will, than we could during the day, if this is really a dream. And it is, because we're trying to do the impossible. You are spirit. And this is one of our lessons that we've learned this week, right, in the workbook. So all of it is really important. But it is a journey in mind training. But when I began, I remember when I started studying Buddhism way back in the 90s, because before that I was basically agnostic at best and possibly atheistic, I guess, by most people's perception, because I just didn't believe and that God would be wrathful and judgmental. And I mean, none of that made sense to me. So I just abandoned or pushed aside my early learning about Christianity. And all paths are valid. You know, the first step in awakening is the realization that everything is acceptable. Everything is acceptable. So as we, you know, began to awaken, you know, we all paths are valid. And Arnett Persa in Gary Renard's book, The Disappearance of the Universe, they talked about the fact that 1,000 years from now, all major religions are still going to be, you know, major religions. They're still going to be here. And these are the things that people believe, you know, through those teachings that keep them bound into a dream, believing that guilt is real, believing that death is real, believing that we are bodies, and that God somehow has stuck you here in this place, separate from heaven, you know, so that he can tell you why he did it on the back end. Because we just wander around trying to figure out who we are. The questions, the very questions that the ego never wants us to ask. And it just keeps us, this ego mind, it keeps us confused with all the distractions that appear to be going on in our dream, regardless of whether it's at night or in the day. And so as I was talking to my love, Reverend Claudia, you know, we were talking about it this morning, in fact, and she said, well, this is what you use, you know, to kind of explain the Course to other people. And I said, yes, it is. It is absolutely the cornerstone of my ability to share the truth that is A Course in Miracles with people who've never heard this, but it is radical. It is very radical. And as Arden Persa again said in The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard, that Jesus was always the radical of radicals because he knew the truth. And so I argue this point with people by trying to help them to see that it's possible. It's possible that we have a misperception of our world and what we are in that world and what we're doing in that world, because we have defined all of these mutually agreed upon definitions of how not only the world is and what the world is, but how people should act within it. But make no mistake, it was only a few years ago that we believed with such a conviction that we would literally incarcerate, imprison, and ultimately punish people who believed that the earth is flat. Because it was somebody's perception of an illusion. Clearly the earth is not flat. Who among us today would argue that point now and stand on a soapbox and start arguing, well, let's go back to when the earth was flat. Because it was flat, you know. Whatever. You know, that sounds ridiculous, right? To say that the earth was round and that the earth actually revolved around the sun instead of the other way around was radical, major radical. And we would literally condemn people and ultimately take their life, you know, because we were so firm in our conviction of an absolute lie. Tell ourselves that this can't be true because we've already proven it to ourselves time and time and time again. The body's senses always give us information that can be, somewhat incorrect. We think we've heard this. We think we saw that. We think we smelled this, right? We think we touched this. We're finding more and more technology that can give us virtual reality. And even that will improve with time, clearly. But this teaching takes us back to the truth, to what our brother, Christ Jesus, was attempting to begin to share with us 2,000 years ago. But again, I tell the story in the sense that, you know, you've got a teacher who is absolutely knows all there is to need to be known in this point about, you know, calculus and algebra and quantum physics, and this person is a master. And they're traveling across the world, and so people hear about this one coming, and so they gather, you know, their children together and say, we want this one to teach our children because our children, you know, this guy is so brilliant, this master teacher, you know, is so brilliant, certainly our children will get it. And so we create a group, and they all come together, and all these children are, you know, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, whatever. And this teacher tells them the truth. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. What are we going to do? We're not going to talk about quantum physics. We're not going to talk about calculus. We're going to talk about the basics. Love thy brother as thyself. The basics. The basics, the basics. This is what the teacher can teach us because this is all we can comprehend. And so 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4. And so these young minds that are confused and still trying to figure out the world that they're living in, I mean, they have literally no perception, I'm pretty sure, left to their own devices. One of them eventually would determine that the earth is flat if there were no teacher there to correct and help them know the truth. And so some of them heard 1 plus 1 is 3. And some of them heard 2 plus 2 is 5 because they went home and told their parents, this is what we've heard from the master. Do you think it's possible that maybe a couple of those students could be, you know, not paying enough attention or distracted, or maybe it was just beyond their capacity to understand this teacher? Absolutely. That is not only possible, but our teacher returns and says, well, okay, well, yeah, that's okay. It's okay. You got it. But there's no harm. There's no problem believing in a dream because dreams have no effect. There's no problem to believe that you could make yourself up to be something that God did never created, or that you could even experience something that God would never have you experience in reality. And that's why this teaching is so I cannot express in words how this teaching has opened my mind, and now this sense of connectedness to spirit that's flowing through my life and improving, literally improving, because I am removing the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of love, that I am beginning to sense love in all things, truly. When I had created all of these ideas in my own mind about what I am and how I'm supposed to be and what the world is, and all of these insane definitions are coming into the light of understanding now, just like when I turn the light on and my child's afraid of a slipper over by the closet door. Suddenly the slipper is no monster. It's a monster no more. And this light of truth has helped me to, first and foremost, begin to let go of fear. Because you cannot be in love and be in fear. As our teacher says, you cannot do the impossible. The return to love is what this book is about. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, the decision to forget. But you are always and always will be at home in God, and God is spirit. Therefore, you are spirit. And we'll pick up our workbook lesson on lesson 98 today as well. The decision to forget is the second section in chapter 10. And in the second edition, we're reading the textbook of A Course in Miracles. And if you want to, if you're looking at the second edition, you'll find all these editions pretty close. The page number is 183 in the textbook. Unless you first know something, you cannot dissociate it. You cannot dissociate God unless you first know God. That's why this argument of the atheist is so ridiculous. They're railing against God to make the argument that God doesn't exist, yet the very fact that they're railing against the idea of God is the truth underneath it they don't get is that they believe in God or they wouldn't rail against it. The idea. It's ridiculous, but they don't see that because the light is dark and the monster still looks like a monster. Unless you first know something, you cannot dissociate it. A knowledge must precede dissociation. Knowledge must precede dissociation, so that dissociation is nothing more than a decision to forget. What has been forgotten then appears to be fearful, but only because the dissociation is an attack on truth. You are fearful because you have forgotten. You are fearful because you have forgotten. That is all. The light is dark. The slipper looks like a monster. And in dreams, do we not see monsters? And then we wake up and realize I'm safe at home in bed the whole time. You are fearful because you have forgotten. And you have replaced your knowledge by an awareness of dreams because you are afraid of your dissociation, not of what you have dissociated. You're afraid of the dissociation itself. Oh, God's going to punish me because I stepped out of heaven. God's going to punish me because we create some idea about sin and sickness and death, and we're afraid of God. And this is underneath all of the ego thinking, underneath everything that's going on. It's the cornerstone of the entire ego system that has kept us spellbound for millennia. You are afraid of your dissociation, believing you can actually separate yourself from God, not of what you've dissociated. And when you have, and when what you have dissociated is accepted, it ceases to be fearful. Yet to give up the dissociation of reality brings more than merely lack of fear. In this decision lie joy and peace and the glory of creation. Offer the Holy Spirit only your willingness to remember, for he retains the knowledge of God. You heard me say, and I'm just listening to and sharing with you these thoughts that I resonate with as I listen to my brother, Christ Jesus, who's known as Raj Poor and is channeled through Paul Tuttle, yet even now, continuing to teach us about this truth, this radical teaching, that you are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And the Holy Spirit holds your divinity in trust while you dabble with the ego. The Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind. If you offer the Holy Spirit only your willingness to remember, because he retains the knowledge of God and of yourself, your true capital S self, and of yourself for you, waiting for your acceptance, holding your divinity, capital D, your identity, capital I, in trust. So give up gladly everything that would stand in the way of you remembering. For God is in your memory. His voice, the Holy Spirit, will tell you that you're part of him. When you are willing to remember him, God, that is, and know your own reality again. Let nothing in this world, nothing, delay your remembering of him. For in this remembering is the knowledge of yourself. To remember is merely to restore to your mind what is already there. You do not make what you remember. You merely accept again what is already there. It was rejected. Remember is just to accept it once again. The ability to accept truth in this world is a perpetual counterpart of creating in the kingdom. Let's read that again now. It is the perceptual counterpart of creating in the kingdom because we've dissociated ourselves from creating. And so we make things out of, by applying definitions to what God is being, we define God. And we do it in every decision. But if we give it up, and give up gladly everything that stands in the way of our remembering, we can know reality again. Let nothing in this world delay your remembering of God. For in this remembering is the knowledge of yourself. So to remember is merely to restore to your mind what is already there. I was celebrating when I heard that statement and when I read that sentence for the first time. It's already there. And it began to dawn on my mind that the truth, okay, that's resonating through this teaching and why it resonated with me so well and so quickly is because I wasn't learning something new. I was remembering what I already knew. You see, because our mind, though it appears to be split in our conscious evaluation, we don't even listen to the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, whatever. It's like, oh, I can't hear that, so it must be out there somewhere, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. You know, your mind is appearing to be split to you, but only one part is actually real, and that voice is with you always. You cannot lose your mind, thank God. You cannot sever this communication. But you get a nudge. You get intuition. Oh, I want to do this, or something nudges you. It is your right mind. Because your right mind, the Holy Spirit, the voice for God, always knows exactly the direction you should go in with every decision. How powerful is that? Oh, my gosh. Why wouldn't we want to listen to that? That voice of truth, that voice of, you know, salvation. That's just pointing us in the direction of knowing, again, that is of remembering our truth. Let nothing in this world delay your remembering of God. So we don't make what we remember. You do not make what you remember. You merely accept again what is already there. But it was rejected. And the ability to accept truth in this world is the perpetual counterpart of creation in the kingdom. God will do his part if you will do yours. And his return in exchange for yours is the exchange of knowledge for perception. As you begin to remember God, he returns to your mind. Nothing is beyond his will for you, but signify your will to remember him, and behold, he will give you everything. All you have to do is ask for it, but for the asking. Only for the asking. So when you attack, you're denying yourself. You are specifically teaching yourself that you are not what you are. Your denial of reality precludes the acceptance of God's gift because you've accepted something else in its place. If you understand that this is always an attack on truth and truth is God, you will realize why it is always fearful. If you further recognize that you are part of God, you'll understand why it is that you always attack yourself first. We hold ourselves guilty for every damn thing. Guilt is the opposite of forgiveness, and the truth that maybe dreams have no effect, just maybe, just a little willingness to accept this truth is a huge shift in paradigm. We would say, what is that? A shift in perception. What is that? Sudden shift of perception? That's a miracle. That's what this course is about. This is truly a course in mind training. When you attack, you're denying yourself. That is all. The attack is self-attack, capital S self, and it cannot be anything else, arising from your own decision not to be what you are. It is an attack on your identification. Attack is thus the way in which your identification is lost. Because when you attack, you must have forgotten what you are. I've come to believe that every judgment, think about this, is an attack. Every judgment on my brothers and sisters is an attack. I may not see it that way. My ego certainly does not see it that way. The ego mind, that is just rugged independence. That is exactly what we need to be doing. We need to get ourselves educated. And we need to know how to judge the world so that we can survive comfortably. And we'll just put death off until whatever. But right now, today's the day, I just got to protect myself. And I got to do that by literally defending myself against my brothers and sisters. And if you do that, you must have forgotten what you are. And if your reality is God's reality, when you attack, you are not remembering God, that's for sure. And this is not because he is gone, but because you are actively choosing not to remember him. Every night we wall off part of our mind that knows that we're safe at home in bed. We are actively choosing to forget that we are safe at home in bed and having a dream of being in a different place with different folks doing the craziest thing. And it seems perfectly normal. We have chosen not to remember ourselves. We have chosen not to remember him, God, our Father. If you realize the complete havoc that this makes of your peace of mind, then you could not make such an insane decision. You make it only because you still believe that it can get you something that you want. It follows then that you want something other than peace of mind. But you've not considered what it must be. So let the logical outcome of your decision be perfectly clear. If you will only look at it, it can become perfectly clear. By deciding against your reality, the truth of God, you've made yourself vigilant against God and his kingdom. And it is this vigilance that makes you afraid to remember him. The decision to forget is the decision we have made. God never forgets about you. You are a thought in the mind of God. You never, ever could be forgotten, because if God quit thinking of you, you would literally, and there would be no memory of you anywhere in all eternity. Thank God that his thought of you is a thought that is of love, and it is an eternal thought. So God's never going to forget you. You will never be forgotten in all of eternity. But you can choose to forget God. And you know what? You can choose to remember. And we can help to remind each other to remember our Father. Tomorrow we're going to pick up section 3, the God of Sickness, and we will pick that up tomorrow. It's going to be a little bit longer discussion, a little bit longer section, but we really are getting into it right now, are we not? Right? We read yesterday that I am spirit. That was our lesson for the day. And I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation is today's. Yes, you absolutely have a part in God's plan for salvation. Now you right away might think, well, what could that be? And the ego gets busy defining what that is. Well, maybe I should go build a church. Maybe I need to give food to people that are starving. You know, maybe I need to save kittens on the weekend. You know, the ego starts taking full responsibility right away for you to assuage yourself of the guilt, that it holds a candle up right in front of your face and says, you're not worthy. So you got to do things. You got to show God that you're devoted, you're really committed. You got to do things to show God that you're worthy of your part. Or the ego says, you're never going to be worthy. There's no way that you're ever going to live up to this idea that you have a part in God's plan for salvation. Are you kidding me? Do you know how much you've already done to hurt other people? Aren't you sorry about that? Isn't there guilt here that you've got to overcome? This is not your time. If you believe in the dream is real, and if you believe that you've ever harmed anyone, ever, in reality, that's you still trying to do the impossible. Acceptance of truth requires full acceptance, to accept it wholly. To accept your part in God's plan for salvation is to forgive yourself forgive your brothers and sisters, to treat them as you would have them treat you. That is, to forgive them full on, full out, and to show full appreciation, as our teacher has shown, to have full appreciation for our brothers and sisters, is simply to know that that is Christ there. And no matter what's going on the screen, this visible, tangible manifestation of mind and their identity, because what God creates is recognizable and they appear to be a body, that's just an illusion. Yes, they're recognizable, but the way they're acting out of fear, and you can recognize it, of course you can, they're acting out of fear. They're not guilty of anything, ever. That is the Christ mind right there. That is your brother and sister. That is you, a part of your mind, playing out a role, playing out an idea that they are guilty, and they, in fact, are afraid of God. So love that one. Our brother Christ Jesus said on the cross, as we attempted to crucify him and end his life, that was done out of fear, absolutely. The church at the time, the politicians at the time, everyone, they were afraid of the power that he had already exhibited, as literally thousands of people would gather to hear him speak. Because we are thirsty for the truth, my friends. We are absolutely thirsty for the truth. And we gather in places all around the world every week, at various times throughout the week, and multiple times throughout the week. Because we are hungry to know ourselves. And you absolutely have a part in God's plan for salvation. But you must listen. You must quit your own ideas of what that is. Your idea of your part in God's plan is not, quite possibly, it's not going out and fixing up the world. But if the Holy Spirit is the mind that you're listening to, that is nothing more than your right mind, and you're listening to that voice, and they said go out and save the kittens on the weekend, then you'll do that with tremendous joy, not because you feel like that there's something wrong in the world, but because of the very joy that you feel, because you are the expression of love, the embodiment of love. You are being led by love, not out of duty, not out of guilt, not out of a sense of, penance. I've got to fix myself up here so that I'm worthy of my Father's love. It's bullshit. If you're listening to that voice, you will have that same joy regardless of what you're embracing and who you're embracing. Because it's the very act of embracing everything that exists as God with no guilt, with no anticipation that could ever be a part of your experience ever again. You're literally following the voice of joy. And yes, we do get... We get blissful and we get ecstatic and we get excited and we want to share, as our brother Christ Jesus, the truth with the world. And yes, your plan or your part in God's plan for salvation, you're already doing it, even though you may not recognize it now. The Holy Spirit is already guiding you, nudging you now, maybe here and there, a little intuition. Maybe I shouldn't react to this one's anger. Maybe I shouldn't do something about this or that. Just right now, maybe I should just let, just a little nudge. You're already listening to that voice, my friend. You are my brothers and sisters, and I love you with a passion. So I will accept my part in God's plan, because God's plan is a plan for awakening. God's plan is a plan for enlightenment. God's plan is for you to remember what you have just simply chosen to forget. It's not complicated. It only requires, as we've already learned, a little bit of willingness and to listen. I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. So today is the day of special dedication. We make a stand on but one side today. Which voice are we listening to, right? Are we going to listen to ego, this mind that we've created out of whole cloth? Are we going to listen to this voice that's always, always, always had our best, only our best interests, and knows exactly what we should be doing today and every day, and that there is ever, never, never, ever a day of work or worry to find God's favor. We sighed because today is a day of special dedication. We take a stand on but one side today, and we side with truth and let illusions go. We will not vacillate between the two, but take a firm position with the one, the capital O-1, that is God. We are moving from this idea of duality, or even semi-duality, to non-duality. Semi-non-duality, or maybe even to the idea of oneness, because it's right here staring at us in our face. And it keeps coming to you and through you, because you are nothing more than the Holy Spirit, the voice for God, the voice for yourself. So let's not vacillate. Let's take a firm position with the one. We dedicate ourselves to truth today and to salvation as God planned it be. We will not argue that it's something else. We will not seek for it where it is not. In gladness, we accept it as it is and take the part that's assigned to us by our Father, by God, Mother, Father, God. Now happy to be certain. Oh, exuberant. To finally be certain. Happy, joyful, blissful, blissed out. All our doubts, that we're going to lay those aside. And we're going to do it today. And take our stand with certainty of purpose. And with thanks that doubt is gone and surety has come. We have a mighty purpose to fulfill. A mighty purpose. And have been given everything we need. Thank God for that. We've been given everything we need with which to reach the goal. No one mistake stands in our way. Because dreams have no effect, my friend. No mistake of your perception and your ego's attempt to cover you with guilt. They stand in our way. For we have been absolved. We always were. From errors. Because there's no such thing as errors in the mind of God. Right? And you've never left the mind of God. You could dream, but you've never left this mind of love. So all our perceived sins, all of these ideas of error and mistake and hatred, they're all washed away by realizing that they were all but mistakes, because the intellect is a poor servant. And it only perceives, you know, insanely and incorrectly. Oh, my God, incorrectly. If we are left up to determine whether or not the earth is flat or round, if we're left to determine that by intellect, clearly, for millennium, it's going to take us a long time to figure it out. Because the intellect is a poor servant. All guiltless, the guiltless, have no fear. For they are safe and recognize their safety. They don't appeal to magic, nor invent escapes from fancy threats without reality. This to me is a statement of our brothers and sisters who have awakened. This is a statement of your mind when the dawning of truth, the remembrance of your true self, capital S self, dawns on your mind, you know, that there's magic no longer appeals to you. And you don't need to invent escapes from these fabrications, fantasies of threats. They rest in quiet certainty that they will do what it is given them to do. They do not doubt their own ability, because they know their function will be filled completely in the perfect time and place. I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. These ones look, they took the stand which we will take today, that we might share, that we may share their certainty and thus increase it by accepting it as ourselves. By accepting it ourselves. Because the awakened brotherhood is part of your mind. As Jesus said, I've overcome the world, and what I have done, I have already done for you. You don't have to be crucified. There's not a crucifixion awaiting for you as you awaken from an illusion, which the illusion itself is crucifixion. Literally, we're crucifying ourselves every day with ideas of guilt and sanity. And so, these awakened brothers and sisters who have awakened to truth, they will be with us. All who took the stand that we take today will gladly offer us all they have learned and every gain they made. And I want to add all they remembered, because we're not, we're doing nothing more than remembering the truth. It's not something new. It's an unlearning of the ego mind. So we learn, and we must learn from the Holy Spirit, that is, to accept the voice for God is to accept it and surrender to it. And let this education dawn on our mind, if you will, the learning dawn on our mind that we are not what we thought we were. The earth is not flat. 1 + 1 = 3. And they don't doubt their ability, because they know their function will be filled completely and in perfect time and place. Those still uncertain, which could be said to be you and I, the unawakened brotherhood, those still uncertain too will join with us, and borrowing our certainty will make it stronger still, because all minds are one. We take a firm position today with the one. I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. And all the minds are joined and will make it stronger still, while those as yet unborn will hear the call we heard and answer it when they have come to make their choice again. We do not choose, but for ourselves today. Is it not worth 5 minutes of your time each hour today to be able to accept this, the happiness that God has given you? Is it not worth 5 minutes hourly to recognize your special function here? Is it not 5 minutes a day that can change the world? Is not 5 minutes but a small request to make in terms of gaining a reward that's so great it has no measure? You've made 1,000 losing bargains at the least. But here's an offer guaranteeing you your full release from pain of every kind and joy the world does not contain. You can exchange a little of your time for peace of mind and certainty of purpose, with a promise of complete success. And since time has no meaning, you're being asked for nothing in return for everything. Here is a bargain that you cannot lose, and what you gain is limitless indeed. We take a stand today on but one side. We side with truth, and we let illusions go. Every hour today, give Him, God, your tiny gift of but 5 minutes, and He will give the words you use in practicing today's idea the deep conviction and the certainty that you lack. His words will join with yours and make each repetition of today's idea a total dedication and made in faith as perfect and as sure as is God's dedication to you. His confidence in you will bring the light to all the words you say, and you will go beyond their sound to what they really mean. Today, you practice with Him as you say, I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. In each 5 minutes that you spend with Him, He will accept your words and give them back to you all bright with faith and confidence so strong and steady that they will light the world with hope and gladness. Do not lose one chance to be the glad receiver of his gifts, that they may give, that you may give them to the world today. Give him the word, and he will do the rest. He will enable you to understand your special function. And you have a special function. You have a part in God's plan for salvation. He will respond with all of his faith and joy that what you say is true. You will have conviction then of him who knows the function that you have on earth as well as heaven. He will be with you each practice period you share with him, exchanging every instant of the time that you offer him for timelessness and peace. Throughout the hour, let your time be spent then in happy preparation for the next 5 minutes, because you will spend again this time with God. Repeat today's idea while you wait for the glad time to come to you again. Repeat it often. I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. Repeat it often, and do not forget each time you do so. You have let your mind be readied for the happy time to come. And when that hour then goes, and he is there once more to respond a little time, to spend, a little time with you and respond to you, be thankful and lay down all earthly tasks, all little thoughts and limited ideas, and spend a happy time then again with him. Tell him once more that you accept the part that he would have you take and help him fill, help you fill. And he will make you sure you want this choice, which he has made with you and you with him. I accept my part in God's plan for salvation. We do it today. In every way, our practice reveals to us what we have forgotten. And you will feel it. You will know it. It's the feeling that you are in store for that will change everything. Because God knows your holiness. And all we have to do is quit denying his knowledge and believe in what his knowledge makes impossible to begin with, that we would be a body, that we would be subject to sin and sickness and death and guilt and shame and illusions of insanity. The earth is not flat. So join with me, my brothers and sisters, as we close our broadcast today. And I am so honored and so in love that you would feel so much energy today that you would join me here. Let's all accept our part in God's plan for salvation. If there are those near you that need to hear truth, don't be afraid to step up. Don't start thinking, what are they going to think of me? I'm doing this radio broadcast over here with some crazy guy. You have a part in God's plan for salvation to tell the truth, share the truth, be the embodiment of love. So as we join in prayer in a moment of silence, my brothers and sisters, I do absolutely love you. My heart is full of love today. And I hope in some small way that I'm serving you and helping you to find the conviction and strength within your heart to begin today to accept your part in God's plan for salvation. Father, I was mistaken in myself because I failed to realize the source from which I come, which I came, and what I am now. I have not ever left that source to enter into a body and to die. My holiness remains a part of me as I am part of you. And my mistakes about myself, they're dreams. And I am coming to realize this, my Father, as you have given me your gift of a guide as our brother Christ Jesus steps around the wall and is sharing with us this teaching through Helen Schachman. God bless her. Bless her, Father, because this teaching is touching the lives of countless people already, literally millions of people. Millions of our brothers and sisters are beginning to grasp the truth that our brother Christ Jesus shared 2,000 years ago. And Father, we are so grateful to you for this truth. We are unimaginably humbled that we could take ourselves so far away from truth and that you would still reach out your hand and give us peace and joy, even in this moment, and ask only that we recognize our brothers and sisters as the very love that you are. I've not left you, Father, to enter into a body or to die. I am a part of you. And my mistakes about myself are dreams. So I let them go today. No regret, no sorrow. And I stand ready to receive your word, Father, alone for what I really am. Your word alone is the truth of what I really am. I am spirit. I am love. I am the kingdom of heaven. I am Christ. I am truth. Darling, with your gift to me, Father, and I'm so humbled by your love. Thank you, Father, in full gratitude and appreciation, and in your name, amen. We'll be back tomorrow morning, my brothers and sisters, and I look forward to it with tremendous gratitude for you. I love you.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.